Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session. At that time, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn the call over to Lauren Geisius. You may begin.
Thank you, and good morning. I'm Lauren Geisius with NOAA Communications. I have a few housekeeping announcements before we begin. You're here this morning to hear Dr. Jerry Bell, lead seasonal hurricane forecaster from NOAA's Climate Prediction Center, deliver updated 2018 Atlantic hurricane season outlook. Dr. Bell and his team issued the initial preseason outlook in May, and they update the outlook every year in early August as the peak months of the season get underway. A news release with infographics will be posted on NOAA.gov momentarily. Following Dr. Bell's brief remarks, you'll also have an opportunity to ask questions about the outlook. If you have additional questions or questions on other topics, please contact me at lauren.geisius@noaa.gov. That's lauren.geisius@noaa.gov or by phone at 301-683-1327 after the conclusion of the call. And now I would like to invite Dr. Bell to present the updated outlook.
Thank you, Lauren, and thank you, everyone, for joining on the call today. The Atlantic hurricane season officially runs from June through November. To date, there have been four named storms, and two of those became hurricanes. We are now in the peak months of the hurricane season, which are August, September, and October. Historically, this is when the bulk, about 95%, of all Atlantic hurricanes and major hurricanes form. This is why we issue an updated outlook at this time each year, and the goal is to give the best prediction for the remainder of the season. And now the updated outlook. Current and predicted oceanic and atmospheric conditions now point to a less active season than was predicted in May. The outlook now calls for below normal or near normal activity, whereas in May, the outlook called for near normal or above normal activity. Percentage-wise, the updated outlook indicates a 90% chance of a below normal or near normal season. A below normal season is most likely, with a 60% chance. This chance for below normal activity is way up from the 25% we had predicted in May. Also consistent with less expected activity now, there's a 30% chance of a near normal season. Fortunately, the chance of an above normal season has dropped to only 10%, meaning above normal activity is now much less likely. The updated outlook indicates the following likely ranges of activity, and these ranges are for the entire hurricane season. They are 9 to 13 named storms, of which 4 to 7 are expected to become hurricanes, and 0 to 2 of those could become major hurricanes, which are categories 3, 4, and 5 on the hurricane scale. These ranges include the four named storms to date. All of these numbers are lower than we predicted in May. In May, we predicted 10 to 16 named storms with 5 to 9 hurricanes and 1 to 4 major hurricanes. Now, please remember that the hurricane season outlooks are a general guide for the overall seasonal activity. They do not predict landfalling storms. And the reason is quite simple. This is because whether or not a storm strikes land is determined by the weather patterns that are in place as the storm approaches. And those weather patterns are just generally not predictable until about 5 to 7 days in advance. Turning now to the science behind the outlook, NOAA's hurricane outlooks have a firm scientific foundation, which includes rigorous analysis of how oceanic and atmospheric conditions are set up to influence storm development, and also how these conditions are likely to evolve through the season. In general, the observed and predicted oceanic and atmospheric conditions now are much more inhospitable to hurricane formation and intensification. Also, weather and climate models are in agreement for a less active season. One factor suggesting a less active season is the increased likelihood that El Nino will form and be strong enough to suppress the hurricane activity. The chance of El Nino developing during the hurricane season has increased to almost 70%, and that's compared to 45% in May. Climate models are now predicting El Nino to suppress the hurricane season through increasing the vertical wind shear in the main hurricane formation region. And this main hurricane formation region is the tropical Atlantic Ocean and Caribbean Sea. Back in May, the models were not predicting El Nino impacts and instead were predicting weaker shear, meaning more hurricanes in the main development region. Another reason we now expect less activity is the persistence of much cooler sea surface temperatures in the main development region, coupled with continued stronger wind shear, drier air, and increased atmospheric stability. This entire combination of conditions suppresses hurricane activity. In closing, it's important to remember that the hurricane season outlook is not only about the numbers. It is very much about preparedness. Regardless of the predicted activity, we all know that it only takes one storm to have catastrophic impacts on lives and communities. Just look at last year. Everyone should know their risk, have a plan, and be prepared. Visit ready.gov for very helpful tips to plan ahead for any tropical storm or hurricane. And now I'll be glad to take questions about the outlook.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And one moment, please, for our first question. And again, just press star 1. One moment, please. Our first question comes from Kim Miller with Palm Beach Post. Your line is open. You may ask your question.
Hi. I was just wondering if you could go into a little bit more detail, a detailed explanation about why there are cooler sea surface temperatures in the main development region. What's causing that?
Sure. The temperatures in the main development region have been colder now since May. They're the coldest they've been since the early 1990s. Initially, this pattern was linked up to a very strong ridge of high pressure in the atmosphere that brought a lot of dry, cooler, northeasterly trade winds into the tropical Atlantic. That trade wind pattern is still continuing. Now, what's happened over the last couple of months is that this cooler sea surface temperature pattern is no longer linked up just to that surface high pressure ridge, but is linked up to a normally occurring pattern of tropical climate variability that's helping to keep those colder waters and stronger trade winds locked in. And that's why we think they're going to persist for the next several months.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Brian Sullivan with Bloomberg News. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thanks for doing this. Given that we're already in August and, you know, it may take some time for an El Nino to come on, do you really think the El Nino is going to have that much of an effect this year? And also, are you seeing any signs that it already is having an effect?
We're expecting El Nino to develop in the next few months, and the models are predicting that it will become strong enough to suppress the hurricane activity. Now, exactly when it develops will obviously determine what the be a factor in determining exactly what we get for the season as a whole. Typically, if El Nino develops during October, let's just pretend it doesn't develop in September. If it does develop in October, it could shut down the later part of the season. So we're expecting El Nino impacts, but that is not the only factor. This other main factor is the colder ocean temperatures and the very non-conducive wind patterns that are present at this time. I'm sorry, Brian, what was the other part of your question?
No, you answered it, but if I can just grab you for a follow-up, I mean, do you think that the cooler temperatures are indications that we're in the larger Atlantic modulation here in terms of temperatures, that we're coming out of that 20-year, 40-year cycle of warm temperatures?
So this is a different part. This is not an El Nino-related question.
No,
El Nino is a tropical Pacific climate phenomenon, and it refers to when there's warmer than average waters in the tropical Pacific.
Yeah, I should have said suppress- I apologize.
No, that's okay. El Nino acts to increase the wind shear, and it's one important factor that controls the hurricane activity. Another major factor is called the Atlantic Multidecadal Oscillation. And it's called this, it's an Atlantic pattern that lasts for multiple decades, anywhere from 25 to 40 years at a time. The warm phase of this pattern, for short we call the AMO, the warm phase of the AMO has been in place since 1995 and has been producing a lot of very active seasons since 1995. Now, in the last few years, we've been seeing more variability in this pattern, and Brian's question references whether we're maybe switching out of this warm phase in a period of much increased hurricane activity and perhaps switching to the cold phase of the AMO, colder Atlantic waters, and less hurricane activity. So that's the framework behind this part of the question. And the answer is, Brian, not sure if we're switching or not. Right now, the colder Atlantic waters are linked up to a different pattern, and that's why we expect them to persist for the next several months. But it's not clear that we've changed phase of the AMO yet. In fact, the last 2 years, the Atlantic waters have been very warm.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Doyle Rice with USA Today. You may ask your question.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for doing this. Just a quick question about the Eastern Pacific. I know sometimes when the El Nino starts to form, it can cause a lot more Eastern Pacific hurricanes, and I wondered what the forecast was for there. And if, you know, sometimes we get some relief in California and the Southwest from Eastern Pacific hurricanes, and I think, you know, that could be a good thing if that forms, if you get more Eastern Pacific storms.
Yeah, El Nino causes a seesaw type of pattern in hurricanes. It suppresses the Atlantic hurricanes and strengthens the hurricane activity in the central and eastern Pacific. We predicted near or above normal seasons back in May for both the central and eastern Pacific hurricane regions, and right now it looks like the activity is pretty much on track for that type of activity. I think we've already had 11 storms in the eastern Pacific.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Paul Walsh with Field Gibson Media. You may ask your question.
Hello there. Thank you for your time today. Just on a kind of a broad question, but on a wider basis, what lessons do you think have been learned from the devastating impact of the last hurricane season?
Well, what comes to mind in my mind is the critical message of hurricane preparedness. We've got to prepare for each and every hurricane season. There are so many tens of millions of people potentially in harm's way every time a storm threatens. From what we saw last year, you know, from the Caribbean islands to Mexico to the southern U.S. For the U.S., it turns out that about 80 million people are considered Atlantic and Gulf Coast residents. So hurricane preparedness is not just a preparing for if you're right along the coast, because we know hurricanes and tropical storms can take huge inland tracks, cause tremendous powers down, damage, flooding. In fact, the leading cause of death now is from inland flooding. So hurricane preparedness and improving our hurricane preparedness efforts is really at the forefront of what hurricane predictions and hurricane outlooks are all about.
Thank you.
Thank you again. If you have a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Alex Herbst with CBS for Rio Grande Valley. You may ask your question.
Thank you, and thank you for your time this morning. I was just wondering, is there any sort of comparison that can be made between this season and perhaps a previous season in the Atlantic Hurricane Basin?
The closest comparison I would give, right, we generally try not to make too much of a comparison from 1 year to the next, but the conditions we're seeing this year have some similarity to 2015, which was also a below normal season. The Atlantic ocean temperatures were quite a bit cooler than average. The wind shear was stronger over the tropical Atlantic, and that really suppressed activity. Now, 2015 had a strong El Nino already in place at this time. So this season's a little bit different in that El Nino has not developed yet.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kristen Ketchel with WNCN. You may ask your question.
Hi there. I just wanted to check in and see if the presence of the Saharan dust in the Caribbean and the Atlantic is also having an effect on inhibiting the number of storms that we've seen develop so far and could potentially develop for the rest of this season.
Sure. Yeah, I think the bottom line in that is it's not really having much of an impact. I know there were some reports that it was, but typically during June and July, we don't see any storms forming in the main development region, which is the heart of where the Saharan air dust would come off. We have seen some outbreaks of Saharan air dust this summer, and sometimes that dust has reached the United States. But that dust is more of a tracer. It turns out that it's associated with very dry and stable air coming off of Africa. So because it's a very sporadic type of event, it can affect individual storms. But we typically don't look at that process as affecting the season as a whole. Now, this year, we are expecting drier, cooler, more stable air in that main development region. But the main reason for that is the stronger northeasterly trade winds coming from the eastern Atlantic rather than from the Sahara Desert.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Courtney Columbus with E&E News. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thanks for doing this. I was wondering if, because as you said, we've been having a lot of very active hurricane seasons lately, when was the last time at this point in the hurricane season that the chance of below normal activity was this low? Below normal activity was this high.
In 2050, the strongest probability for below normal seasons that we've given were 2014 and 2015.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, I'll turn the call back over to Lauren Geishas.
Thank you so much. At this time, we're showing no further questions, so we'll go ahead and conclude our press briefing today. Again, you can find the news release on NOAA.gov, and if there are any additional questions, please contact me at 301-683-1327. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, and that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.